on the world.
Hello and welcome to Military Movie Mayhem. My name is Morgan Foster, and with me I have my co-host, Jacob Conley.
How's it going, guys?
Today, we did Siege of Jedotville.
Got some damn fighting Irish in there.
The main actor is actually an Irish actor, by the way.
I kind of figured, because I'm like, that dude looks super Irish. And his accent is a little like, it's like... That's very accurate. That's very accurate Irish accent.
Well, the main guy, the general or the commander guy, was Jamie Dornan. Half of you would know that name if you paid attention the last 10 years, because that is Christian Grey from 50 Shades of Grey. Let's get into the movie. The film opens with an execution of Congolese Prime Minister Patrice Lumumba in the outbreak of civil war, as the mineral-rich state of Katanga secedes under the leadership of Moise Tshombe, United Nations Secretary General Dag Hammarskjöld assigns Connor Cruz O'Brien to head up a UN peacekeeping mission. Privately, Dag tells O'Brien that the Katanga crisis could potentially trigger World War III and orders the Irish diplomat to take offensive action. There's a lot of names, proper names and stuff that I'm going to fail miserably.
Yes.
But that the opening kind of just brushed over and I was like, eh. And Connor Cruz O'Brien is played by Mark Strong. And the whole time I'm like, why does he have hair? This dude's bald. He should just be bald. Stop giving him wigs. I knew him from The Kingsman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Irish Army Commandant Pat Quinlan commands an infantry company of Irish peacekeepers? Nope.
Peacekeepers.
Irish peacekeepers who arrive at the UN compound near Jedotville. After examining the compound, Quinlan decides that it is wide open to attack and orders his men to dig trenches in defensive fighting positions. So they're like, they get to the thing and they're like, this place is awesome. And this other dude's like, wakes up 6 o'clock and, well, they say 0600, it should be dark as fuck, but it's the sun's coming up. And he's just like, he's jumping around on it with his sleeping bag. He's like, wakey, wakey, rise and shine. I'm like, this thing's going to take a turn if this guy is this
motivated.
Yeah. Shit is going to go downhill. They dig the trenches and put up sandbags and stuff with the dirt that they just dug.
Yeah.
While buying food in the nearest town, Quinlan meets French mercenary Rene Falquez, who had been hired by the mining companies allied to Dushanbe's government. Afterwards, he visits the estate of a Belgian colonist, Madame Lafon.
It's the lady that owns the mark, the one that was working at the store. He goes to her house.
Madame La F, who tells him that Jedotville contains the world's richest uranium deposits. The world's richest. What is this, just a ripoff of fucking Black Panther with no superhero?
Kind of. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this actually happening inspired Stan Lee to make the Nation of Wakanda and all that stuff, or the creators at Marvel. It wouldn't be surprising, because it's like, after you find out like the actual information, because this movie is based on a true story. Like, the facts that happened, like what you see, the battle that you see happen.
Fun fact, none of the Irishmen died in this movie, which was weird, because this was a big ass battle and none of the Irish died, which is amazing because there's mortars and shit and a helicopter falls. But anyways, what was I going with this?
Only you were talking about how many wounded they actually had.
Well, no. The fun fact was that after this movie, because of the PTSD, five of the Irishmen actually committed suicide because of this. After this movie came out, because they had to relive that moment or that war.
Wait, so they were, so the movie came out and they watched it, and then five of the guys that were already close to death committed suicide.
Yeah.
Jeez. That's crazy, because it's like the last movie that was like that was Saving Private Ryan.
Yep. But this one had, so there was a line in the middle of that that had Connor Cruz O'Brien and the secretary, the leader of the Katanga. And somehow the Americans ended up in the conversation, and I'm like, what?
Oh, it's because we were busy with, like, they were talking about it. They talked about it earlier, like when it has
the land grabbing and the Texas and thing. I'm like,
yeah, where Mark Strong was first coming in. It was like,
yeah,
when Mark Strong was talking to the guy that basically the dude, the delegate from the UN or whatever, telling him what they were going to do. He basically said the Americans are too busy with Southeast Asia to deal with this shit. We're asking for a favor.
Yeah, and they were like,
and they wanted someone who was neutral.
They were like, the only ones in America that can secede is Texas because of their oil. And I was like, true. And they were like, talking about how Americans getting into people's business and stuff. I'm like, what the fuck do we have to do with any of this?
I'll get one word: globalization. Gorbachev. Right. When Gorbachev broke down that wall, America became everybody's daddy, it seems like.
This was the 60s, so Gorbachev wasn't a thing yet.
No, it was still.
This was 1963. You saw President Kennedy on the TV.
Oh, so who was it? It wasn't Stalin. It was.
Might have been still Stalin.
No, not 63. I think he died in like 50 something.
Well, he is looking this up. It was 1963 because Kennedy was still alive.
He died in 1953. So who ran Russia?
USSR 1963.
Ah, Nikita Khrushchev. Oh, wait.
Khrushchev?
Yeah, Khrushchev.
Khrushchev. He was a general. General Khrushchev.
Well, yeah, because it's like Stalin picked.
Yep. Anyways.
Yeah, I mean, he was in office. Yeah. Khrushchev. Yeah.
Anyways, meanwhile, O'Brien orders UN forces to launch an attack against government buildings held by Katanganese in Elizabethsville, while Indian peace. This is actually Indian, like India, Indian, while Indian peacekeepers are attempting to seize the city's radio station. 30 unarmed Katanganese radio operators and employees are killed by gunfire and grenades. O'Brien orders the incident to be swept under the rug.
Yeah.
This never happened.
Well, I mean, it kind of makes sense. Like, I don't know. Because at the same time, it's like you can't blame the dudes. Like, they took fire. The enemy was entrenched inside the billet. Like, you know, it's like.
But they were like, we didn't have the funding for a siege or
for a
what
siege.
Did they say?
Yeah, he didn't have the resources.
So we
for
just
a siege.
Threw grenades. Like, what?
Well, I think it was like they didn't like the operation. I think it was the time constraint, really, the operation. Like, they didn't have the time or the resources to do a siege. So they kind of were like, well, if we stay here, we're going to get surrounded and encompassed, but we need to take this point either way. So they were like, we're going to trudge in and force our way in. And then they did it the smart way. So, they used grenades and they made sure nobody was alive when they went in the door.
But 30 fucking innocents died just because of this.
Yes. But at the same time, though, it's like you got to think like, you also have to think in the eyes of that person, too, because this person's there away from their family, too. Is it like it's almost like that it's that age old question. It's me over them, you know, like, are you going to make it home to your family or are you not? You know, Because that's like the kind of hard questions right. that these people faced, these individuals faced in that timeline, you know, especially there, because it's like those companies were definitely paying for mercenaries and definitely supplying weapons and to have discontent and have discontrol because they wanted the control.
Right.
Oh.
Oh, excuse me. In retaliation, Vaquez receives orders to attack Jadotville. Katanganese forces and mercenaries under Vaquez's command attack and besiege the Irish. During a brief ceasefire, Vaquez vainly demands Quinlan's surrender. Dude, when that fucking Jeep started rolling up and that guy's like freaking out, I'm like, that's how I feel all the time whenever something is just flooding in a main space and it's just me and somehow my radio dies and I'm like, we're gonna die, right? That guy was a marksman. He nailed the fucking bell
twice.
The little twice. Thing, yeah, the ringer. He nailed it twice, and I was like, well, that's one way of getting their attention.
And well, I mean, it also helped that they heard the gunshot and then they were like, let a rip, Tater Chip. And they had the machine gun on top of the Jeep. So they just started.
Yeah.
So the dude takes the second shot at the bell while being suppressed by a machine gun.
Yep.
So he's calm enough. There's bullets whizzing. Like, people don't realize when a bullet passes by, you hear it. Like, you'll hear it crack because it's breaking the speed of sound by your ear. Like, it's some of the wily shit.
Right. The Irish were having mass. They were talking about it in the scene before, how they were all going to have mass. And they had that one lookout. He heard the Jeep and he's like freaking out. He's like, guys, somebody come out. Fuck it. I'm just going to aim for the bell.
He's like, we're under attack. Nobody answers. And he just hear all you hear is just like Irish mass singing. So his little yell is deafened by all that. And he's like, the bell it is.
I bet he's like, please fucking hit it. Please. He's actually a really good shot. As the movie progresses, you see the shots that he takes. And I'm like, man, that's fucking
well,
dope.
He hit the bell the second time. So the first time is kind of like, okay, with a sighted in rifle, I could probably do that. Maybe not while being shot at, but he did that. And then he hit a moving bell after because he shot it twice.
Actually, while the movie progresses, that guy is really, did he do a one shot with a Bren?
Bren is, you could one shot with a Bren. You could.
I know, but it was a sniper round with a Bren. And I'm like, how did you do that? The top-loaded gun.
Yeah,
I think it's called a
machine gun.
My brain kept saying
they put
Bren.
Scopes on it. I mean, it makes sense because it's semi-automatic, so you can put more rounds down range, but it's also it's a pretty accurate rifle, honestly. Like, they just put, it's just weird though, because it's like a Winchester with how it's designed, with how it's since the magazine's in the center. It's like a Winchester, your rounds get ejected out the top. So when you have a scope, you have to have it offset, which is a mechanical pain in the ass.
Yeah.
But it's still pretty cool.
That one side actor that had his one job, just be the man in the white suit, giving orders. I'm like, what is the point of this guy? And there's no dialogue with him. There's nothing. He just gets shot in the chest. He says, aim for the heart, and he misses and hits the lung. And I'm like, I guess it's still a kill.
What was it? I think the funniest one of the funniest parts was that, like, you remember the beginning when he's at the bar, right? And he's talking. He's talking with the same people he's fighting. He's talking with the French dude, and he's like, he quotes Rommel, and then the French guy goes, "I don't like Rommel," and then the Irish dude just goes, "Them is some fighting words," and he goes, well, I mean, not many French enjoy German tacticians, you know, especially seems how their country fell, their nation fell in 2 weeks.
Right.
Ooh, That's the commander of this Irish platoon. So you can just think about all the other extradential salt with the rest of them. So it's like,
right. Jamie Dornan fucking kills it. Like, he is great in this movie as an actor. Jamie Dornan was a good actor in this movie.
He was fantastic, honestly. I thought he did a very good job, especially with how, like, his demeanor a lot in it was very on point with the demeanor, I feel like, of the demeanor of the person who actually fought that situation, because it's like the actions that are in the movie actually happened and someone decided that. To be honest, I think he knew he was going to, the commander knew he was going to fight those mercenaries at some point when he said them fighting words. Is like, yeah. Especially to the front, like, because the company hired a bunch of French, old French legionnaires.
Mm-hmm.
So that's even more of an insult to be like, yeah, your nation fell in 2 weeks. Those are some fighting words. I feel like that guy got really excited when he got told to go after him. Like, he had a look on his face like, ha, 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 ha.
That guy was like, also, when they were talking about the surrender, he was like, surrender. Jamie Dornan's like, no, I don't want to. I will take your surrender. No, I'm not surrendering.
He's like suction cup guy. No, fuck you. I got a song for you. Fuck you. You're an asshole. Like, what? You're like, he knows. And it's like, he knows he's like in a very bad spot, because he's like, he doesn't know when he's going to get reinforcements. He doesn't know when they're going to get reinforcements. All he knows is that he's surrounded and he doesn't have a lot of ammunition, but this guy ain't going. I'm not going down without a fight.
I need reinforcements. We don't have reinforcements. I need reinforcements. I don't have reinforcements. Meanwhile, the United States is just sitting there. I mean, we could have if we wanted to, but we apparently didn't want to.
Oh, it's the reason why is because, like, I think they talked about it because, what is it, Don? Connor Cruz, Mark Strong, the guy that's the Irishman who's in charge of the whole operation, basically. He's asking, I remember, I'm pretty sure there was a point where it was like he was asking for more support. And he couldn't get the support because of neutrality, basically. Because it's like, you can't, if a major power was to get involved, then the other world power would get involved. Because, you know, it's the Cold War, it's a dick swinging contest. So if either superpower got involved, stuff would have escalated very quickly. And we can see this because of, you know, Korea and Nam. Like, we can very easily see this. And it was basically, the whole thing was basically just the dick swinging competition between the USSR and USA.
Right. All right. This part is my favorite part of the movie. Quinlan refuses and his company is attacked repeatedly in separate waves by the Katanganese and mercenary forces. They kill a total of 300 enemy soldiers and wound 1,000 enemy soldiers. With Indian UN peacekeepers attempt to... Whoops. Nope. Hold on. Okay, they kill a total of 300 enemy soldiers and wound 1,000 enemy soldiers, with 0 deaths and only 16 wounded for the Irish. Irish, Swedish, and Indian UN peacekeepers attempt to reinforce A Company, Alpha Company, is repelled by separatists. An effort to supply water and evacuate the wounded troops by helicopter failed as separatists shot down the helicopter. But what they don't say is Quinlan jumped in the back of a truck that had a mounted machine gun on it. And there was a... that's after, isn't it?
Oh, when the sergeant hopping in the truck?
No, that was this one. So he hopped in the back of the truck and there was an enemy plane shooting down the helicopter. And they collectively pushed over the truck so that he could be straight up at the sky. And as the plane went over, he shot at the plane and the plane fucked off. for the time being.
Fuck you!
That was awesome. And somehow, the helicopter does not explode. And everyone in the helicopter survived. Even the ones that fell out of the helicopter and landed on their backs and got the wind knocked out of them because they just fell out of a fucking helicopter.
I'm actually very surprised how they did not die.
I don't know.
They must have been really messed up after, though.
You think?
They probably were sitting there going,
popping of their life.
Why is it spicy?
They probably had the back cracking of their life. They had a very good chiropractor. There was probably a few rocks, so they landed.
Ew.
Pop, 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 pop.
Oh, man.
We need our reinforcements. They can't get past them. They're going to back out.
I'm like, how do you have more manpower than we do, and then you can't push past them?
Right.
I'm like, what makes you guys us so good at fighting and then you guys so good at fighting, you know? Like,
right. It's like just fuck them up. Just get there. They can't. Goddamn, the UN sucked in 63. That was back when we were actually part of the UN. Yep. I don't know if we still are.
We are and aren't, I guess, for some weird thing. What was it? You remember the first fight where the first wave came and the sergeant's on the Jeep and he's just like, he starts mowing towards the end of the fight and then they like, finally the shooting stops and the sergeant's just like, he's sitting there and he's just like, going, the actual fuck. He's like, this was supposed to be quiet. You could just see the look of like, this turned to bullshit real quick.
I like how the insurgents would come in and they're like, no, too many people are dead now. Let's go back. And then they come in and then two more people. That scene where they're like after the surrender, whenever they pulled in the ambulances, I was like, you just pulled in three jeeps to take, dead? 200 to 300 people. Like, what is happening? And then they jumped out of the back. I was like, oh, this is why this is in the movie.
Like, geez, man.
The mortar thing was pretty cool, but I don't know how the fuck they didn't get fucked up by all the mortar shells.
That's the other thing, too. I'm like, it must have been like a super small mortar or something. Like,
yeah.
That's and then dangerous.
They're grabbing all their ammunition out of that one shack. I was kind of like, what the fuck is happening?
I know. Like, we're running out of ammo. They did. They ran out of ammunition. They stopped fighting literally because they ran out of fucking ammo.
We used every bullet twice. We used every bullet twice.
Yeah, for real. Like, they finally surrendered because they ran out of bullets.
They basically made homemade grenades with the shells and the dynamite. I was like, that was pretty smart.
Yeah. Some MacGyver shit right there.
After numerous extended quick waves, the Irish company is forced to surrender After numerous extended quick waves, the Irish company is forced to surrender to Falquez's troops after running out of ammunition, food, and low on drinkable water. They are held in a Katanganese prison for about a month. Then they are freed in a prisoner exchange deal and are allowed to go home. After they arrived home, Quinlan is informed by General McEntee that Alpha Company's surrender causes shame to the UN and the higher-ups need to bury the truth of the siege for political reasons. Only in 2005, clear review of the siege clears the soldiers' reputation. So that entire battle, he was giving them hell and they're like, you're a coward for surrendering. Like, you didn't give me shit. Fuck off.
I asked for more resources and then you told me to simply go pound salt. So this decision came on your lack of commanding.
Right. Also, they were kind of in the middle of a civil war that they didn't need to be in.
Yes. I mean, the thing is, though, is that it should be like they focused more on like the people instead of trying to make it better for the people, if that makes sense. It's like instead of trying to make a community there, they were more worried about who was in control of what. It's like you can't have a democracy or anything if there's not basic necessities for people, though.
Right.
Because if there's not an infrastructure, if there's not roadways, if there's not a medical system, there's no way for democracy to exist, because it's like there's not enough resources for everybody to be taken care of.
Right. Absolutely. After seeing the movie, talking about it, how did you like the movie Siege of Jadotville?
I say it's a solid. It's either an 8 or a 9. It was good. Sad. It's sad. It's a sad but true story. But the fact that we get to hear about the story and what actually happened is badass and cool. So I give it a solid like 8 or 9.
Yeah. I'd give it a 7 at least. But I don't know if I'd get over an 8.
Well, you mean like entertaining?
Probably 7.5.
Well, because it's my opinion. So it's like, I feel like of both. Or like just how good the movie was.
Well, I don't know. I was talking about military, but entertainment is probably an 8 or 9. Because Jamie Dornan definitely fucking pulls it. And this actually had some Irish awards. It was not Oscar nominated, but it had some success in the Irish awards in cinematography.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty good. I was going to say, yeah, military 8, and then entertainment probably like an 8. I'm going to say both 8.
Yeah. I liked it. The next movie we're doing is Dunkirk, 2017. With Harry Styles, Cillian Murphy, Tom Hardy, Mark Rylance, James Darcy. Anyways, ooh, Barry Keoghan. Oh, I don't know who that is. Mm-hmm. Never mind. Michael Caine's in the movie.
Hey.
So, if you like this, we are on all the socials. I have all the socials for the show. Military Movie Mayhem, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
All the
and
above.
I'm also at Mr. Yeah, I'm also at Mr. Ragebomb 321, and Jacob is at Jacob Connolly 4570.
Yep, the name and the numbers.
All right. Bye.